Your number is called. Step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing, Houston? The day after the sun... Let's just say it's sunshine and rainbows, regardless of what the weather is outside, because your Astros are done. But you know what? They had a hell of a ride. They had a great season. It ended prematurely with a loss to the Red Sox last night. But all things being considered, you move on, you move forward, and you hopefully anticipate many more runs like the one that they just got done with. With that being said, welcome into The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Nick Sciarra back on the ones and twos, spinning the dials to keep us on the air. And Cody Stutes, so generous with his time to fill in one more day for Barry Laminack, who's on the West Coast in Portland, Oregon, in the Rose City doing some comedy. But, fellas, what's up? Catching up on the levels of disappointment after everybody went through what they did last night. Everybody good?
You know, the eggs didn't taste just as good as they usually do. The air wasn't as crisp as it was. Astros baseball's over. And now we have stupid offseason to look forward to and stupid pitchers and catchers countdowns. I hate that.
It's going to be interesting, man. There's a lot that everybody's kicking around. Nick, I saw your tweet, and you were watching this.
Yeah, I was.
It just seemed like the whole night was flat, right? I mean, everybody was going to harp on the 0-2 pitch at Verlander that should have been a strike, wasn't a strike, and then he gave up a home run. But there was so much more to it. But the whole stadium, I was there. It was like a library half the time. It's like people were just anticipating this was just going to be another Houston collapse. It should have, would have, could have been, but it's not.
And it should have been one of those things too. Like Price is on the mound, and he, don't get me wrong, like he pitched phenomenal
well
last night, like best postseason performance of his career. But Price is on the mound, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, this guy, like you can get to this guy, and yeah. If you get to the bullpen, then you know things are going to start going your way because that bullpen's been worked, and I mean they just couldn't get anything going against Price. And as that game went on and on, and when it was 1-0, like I didn't feel bad about the thing.
I didn't either.
I didn't feel like they were totally out of it. But then, you know, a 3-0 home run, you know, the 3-run home run to make it 4-0, that's tough
to
overcome.
That's the dagger that I think everybody kind of said game, set, match.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, before the game you hear Altuve's on one leg, Bregman's not hitting the ball well from the leadoff spot, and like everything that's going wrong is like snowballing on you. Correa's stinking again. It's like, okay, it seems like 4-0 is just insurmountable, even with them being terrible at times in their bullpen or being overworked or taxed or anything like that. Like it just felt like 4-0 was insurmountable.
So Nick, you were watching it. You feel the same way?
Yeah, man, I feel like the more hurtful loss was not last night's loss, it was the loss before that. And I do agree with you in terms of the stadium being super flat, because I feel like there was anticipation that this was going to be a loss and that the series was over. So in terms of what Verlander was upset about, yeah, he might have some ground on that call, but for the reality is I feel like the Boston Red Sox is the better team. They had better at-bats. The better team won. It's a great year for the Astros. Hopefully they can come close to what they did last year in the World Series, but I think the better team won.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, the big thing for me, and again, here we'll get into some of this too throughout the course of the show, but the Houston excuses I hate. I hate going at Joe West again, all right? It's over with. It's done with, you know? I hate, you know, nitpicking at little things throughout the course of the series. To your point, Nick, I think they were two evenly matched teams. But when you get two really good evenly matched teams, it's who executes better, who's hotter at the right time, who does what they need to do in crunch situations, and that's the team that normally ends up on top. And that's exactly what happened in this series. This is the Astros of a year ago doing what they needed to do to put their stamp back on the map, and the Red Sox were hot at the right time doing what they needed to do.
And who's healthy, too? Like, I mean, health is a big thing as well, just because you look at, you know, Correa's not 100%. Altuve's way far away from 100%. You know, Springer's dealing with whatever Springer's dealing with, and you got all this stuff. And then you look over the Red Sox, it's like, oh, J.D. Martinez? Well, he's fine. Oh, Mookie Betts, the MVP? He's doing
Jackie Bradley had an awakening, and he's killing it.
Yeah, yeah. Watching him get that ALCS trophy, it's like that's the best he'll ever play.
So where are you guys on that? I was going to ask you that. I was thinking about that this morning. Look, to me, I don't have anything invested like when I used to work for a team. But it's just, to me, I don't even want to watch the celebration if it's not the team that I wanted to win. It really grinds at me, and it used to really chap my ass at, you know, who's going to win the World Series that's not the team that I wanted to win, or who's going to win the NBA title or whatever. But, you know, I've kind of gotten over that because I look at it and I go, it has nothing to do with my life. It's just that I really – you get that pit in your stomach, and it really chaps my ass when I see the team not – that I want to win, not win, and then I have to deal with another team that's got a chance.
I'm not, as a fan, as somebody who, you know, just is watching the game, as soon as, you know, it's third out, my team's out of it, TV's off. Like, I'm not watching the dog pile, especially on my field.
Let's go back to Texas Tech and the last time they were in the national championship. Never mind. So let's assume Texas Tech was in the national championship game. I mean, that would be a different story, though, because you have something invested in it because you went there. Is that enough to be okay that it's going to actually affect your life in some way?
You know, that level, because I know they probably – like, that's – I think it's tough because Tech's getting there once, and that's their best shot ever, and they may not ever get another one again. I don't know if people feel that way about this Astros team because they should be around this conversation next year. They should be one of the teams that's going to play in the ALCS next year. Like, you should be getting ready for Red Sox-Astros again. Like, obviously, should. We've got, you know, 12 months before something like that happens again. But the talent, the young guys, like, this doesn't feel like 2005 when it's like,
God, they had their
man.
Shot, and they, you know, how long is it take to get back?
This team's not going back again, are they? Like, no, it doesn't feel like that. Like, it feels somewhere between last year and a few years ago when the Royals.
And you knew that they were going to be around for
a
while?
It's like, okay. Like,
I don't know, the Royals smoked them. They kind of choked that one off.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the Royals beat them.
Yeah.
It feels somewhere between that. But a little bit closer to last year than when the Royals took care of them.
Nick, where you at on all of it? Because, again, for all of us, because we have to talk about sports on a daily basis, it's different because we know it's going to be a topic, win or lose. But you're a Houstonian. You've got something invested in this. What's your feeling when you see that happening? You know, inevitably, they're not going to win.
I mean, I had, for me, the feeling was hope. There was always a little bit of hope. And I do understand the person that changes the channel and starts – you know, they don't want to watch the disaster unfold. I totally get that. I'm sometimes that guy that reaches for hope that really shouldn't be there. And I understand someone changing the channel. It sucks. I mean, I don't see how Carlos Correa was able to just stand out there for that long and watch other people celebrate. That must have been extremely painful. But
yeah,
I did. I watched
like
the entire game.
It's like a self-inflicted wound.
I have no idea what I would do if I was a player in that situation, because sports failure for me always was like, I was always just wound tight when I failed at sports. Like, I didn't want to talk to people. Like, maybe Correa is that way, and no, he knows no one else is going to be out there, so he gets some alone time. And, like, you know, okay, I watch these guys dogpile on my field. That's going to be ingrained in my brain when I'm rehabbing my back, when I'm taking those swings in the off season, stuff like that. Like, I don't know how Correa sits out there and watches that. I could not watch that if I was a player. I could not watch. I'd be hitting the showers already. Hey, talk to me. Like, you know,
well, and not to that level, but several times throughout me playing baseball, from an 18 and under chance to go to the World Series to in college a chance to advance to the World Series, and you look at it, and to me, I was out. I was like, after the last out, you shake hands, you go through the line, you congratulate the other team, and then I grab my crap. And I go, and if we're on the road, I go to the bus. And I go sit behind the bus until everybody's on the bus. Or I just get out, and it's just me and nothing else, because I just want to kind of detox and go, what the hell just happened? But I definitely don't want to sit there and self-inflict wounds by watching guys celebrate on my field.
Exactly.
I know they're going to celebrate in my home stadium. I know that, you know, they're going somewhere that I want to be. I don't need to magnify the pain I'm already feeling.
I don't know how Correa did it. Just standing out there like this. I mean, look, everybody at that level is wired differently. And then in between, you know, player to player at that level, they're all wired differently. Like, I can't imagine Bregman was watching. That seems like the type of dude that's like, clubhouse, let's get showered up. Meaty's got to talk to me. Okay, cool. And then I'm outie. That's what I don't know, but that's how Bregman feels to me, where it's like Correa's like, okay, I'm going to remember this. It's going to be ingrained in my brain, and it's going to help me. It's going to motivate me.
So it's an FEF Friday here on The Usual Suspects, and Barry's out of town, so we're not going to have a comedian today for funny, but we're going to have plenty of other things to talk about, including football, because there's a big weekend ahead where we're going to probably do some football picks, college and pro. We're going to kick around some of the big games. Cody, who covers the Texans on a regular basis, is going to break down what's going on with the big divisional matchup against the Jaguars this weekend. And by the way, we are right here at Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. If you're getting ready to start your weekend and you love to play poker, well, there is no finer place in the entire city of Houston, maybe other than Vegas and some of the casinos that you find, as nice, as clean, and as safe as the atmosphere here at Prime Social. You stop by and see us. We're going to take you till 4. The Blitz is going to take you till 7. There's some ex-Rocket celeb in the house. I'm just going to let you know. I'm not going to say his name. But there's lots of people wandering around playing poker, and you can too. Great place for food, beverage, and poker. Stop on by and say hi if you are in the area, and we're going to take you through. 713-780-3776 happens to be our number where you can call and text, or you can hit us up on Twitter. On Twitter, I am at Pac-Man Joel. It's at Cody_Stutes and at the producer Nick if you want to reach out and touch us during the show, and we'll try and get back to you as well. We'll continue to roll on and get things going here on a FEF Friday right here at Prime Social. Before we get to that, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. Look, I know a lot of you people are still struggling to try and dig out of the hole that was created by the hurricane, and a lot of times you're dealing with giving money up front to a roofer who doesn't have your best interest at heart, takes your money, doesn't finish the job, or does crappy work and then leaves town. You don't have to deal with that problem if you contact the people at Fitz Roofing. They are Houstonians focused only on helping Houstonians, and they are a guaranteed company you can trust. How do I know? Well, I know they use CertainTeed shingles, and that's a good thing because that's quality product, but they are a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. Only 1% of roofers in the entire United States meet the criteria to get this elite status. They have it. Their base warranties, better than the best warranties you can get from other roofing companies. The fact of the matter is, they just want to help. You can get a free no-obligation inspection today. All you got to do is call 832-521-3001 or just log on to fitzroofing.com. That's F-I-T-Z. Either way, no-obligation inspections. They'll tell you what you need. Then you can talk to them if you want to get it done. They are great people making a difference one home at a time. It's Fitz Roofing. Give them a call.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an FEF Friday, and we are absolutely, positively happy you are with us and along for the ride. Cody Stutes is in for Barry. It's him and I here at Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. If you want to stop by and say hi, maybe play some poker, hang out. It's a great spot. Lots of good things going on. It's a clean, safe environment to play poker, but the food and beverages are great. Clean bar area. You can play pool. There's all kinds of things going on, so check it out. We'll take you till 4 here. Blitz will be here all the way till 7 o'clock. AJ's playing right now in a tournament. So is Lance Zerline. So there's our peeps are out there participating as well. So you can swing on by. Nick is back at the station as we continue to regurgitate the events of last evening. We kind of got into the Astros a little bit, Cody, but overall, there is now, like there is every year with every team that gets to a certain point and falls short, there is tons of evaluating to be done and decisions to be made on both sides of the ledger when you look at what this team's going to look like next season. My first thing, because everybody's asking me, well, where's the weakness? The bullpen was, you know, numbers-wise, best in the baseball. You know, they're starting pitching. Well, you're going to lose some of those guys. So you have three key free agents, Marwin Gonzalez, mm-hmm. Dallas Keuchel, Charlie Morton. You also have a guy that I think we're all kind of on the same page that's probably going to call it a career in Brian McCann, who's up, but I don't think he's going to be back because based on the last 2 months of the season, he looked like he was closer to AARP than the all-star status as a catcher that he once was. My biggest thing is the catcher. Maldonado, who was the machete-throwing runner, and he has a cannon. But he's supposed to be a defensive catcher, and there were a lot of lapses. He's a free agent. Do you want to bring him back? Or Real Muto is the guy that I think that they have targeted in the past that they should target again. Miami's obviously having another fire sale. They constantly want to get good players out of there, as we've seen with Ozuna, who went to the Cardinals, with Yelich, who went to the Brewers. and a couple of their pitchers have been on the block and also have been traded. I think if there is a way that you can spin a deal for a guy like Real Muto, he could really put you over the top for next season simply because of his bat, and he's young, and he's a good defensive catcher. What's crossing your mind on what they need to do?
Man, I think that it's going to get real interesting, and how they operate this offseason may give us a peek into how they're going to start operating with some of these big names that are going to start getting paid. Because if they go out there and it's just spin, and it's a lot of money, and they go add, you know, some more, you know, hosses to this team, then it's like, okay, well, what about Verlander and Cole? What about Springer? What about Correa? You know, in that order, those guys. And you got to think, too, Jose Altuve, that sweetheart deal that they got him on, that stays in place for another year, and then his salary jumps up big.
Right.
So that's a big commitment. And so, you know, everyone's like, okay, well, Crane will spend. Sure, but will Crane spend?
I was going to say, it starts with Crane, but you got to look to your comment about what's on the horizon. You know, you got one more year of Cole and Verlander, and then they're both up. So you got to figure out, you know, is Justin going to give any kind of a sweetheart deal? Is he want to get to a big city? You know, is Kate Upton's love for this city going to make sure that he stays and maybe takes a little less so that he can make sure that he stays on the big stage with a team that's going to consistently win?
Yeah.
But, you know, you've got another year of Springer under control, I believe, and then Springer – it's 2 years on Springer?
I think it's 2 years on Springer,
so
yeah.
So two left on Springer. You're going to approach the Correa. Bregman's – obviously it's coming. And again, you look at all those things and say, well, why does that matter? Those are down the road. Because it matters on how you spend money this year. So basically to me, and I've said this all along, I'm fine Dallas Keuchel walks.
See ya.
You know, goodbye. And because Boris is his agent and because he's looking for big dollars and he's kind of got that kind of River Oaks attitude in the way he operates, he kind of was giving the spilled milk and woe is me's last night after the game. But the fact of the matter is, it's cake or eat it too. You know, if you want less money, maybe they'll talk to you. I think the more important things are, Marwin has a huge role on this team.
Yes.
It just depends. He's represented, you said, by Boris as well.
Scott Boris guy.
That's another thing, because Boris is all about getting the most and every penny out of whoever he can get it from, whereas Marwin's a guy that really fits into the culture, the locker room, does a jack of – he's the ultimate Swiss Army knife.
So talking about Marwin, I think you have to ask yourself, does this guy, while he does do all those things, and he does all those things well, is this a guy that wants to sit down 30 years old and look at a team and say, play me here every day. Like, I can do this, but I want to be your everyday blank. You know, and that's something you have to figure out.
Then I would have to ask first and foremost, exactly, you tell me what position you want to play, because I'm looking at it going, he can play the out. He can play every position but catcher and pitcher, but is there an everyday position for him?
Right, right. You know, like, is some team going to pay him $14, $15 million a year to play second base?
Right.
Like, you know, I don't know. I don't
Third,
know.
Short.
So the thing you have to look at right away is you got Verlander and Cole. They're good to go for next year.
Right.
Keuchel's gone.
Yep.
Morton's a free agent.
Yep.
And then, I mean, Lance McCullers' arm, the whispers that are out there on this thing.
Did you see last night on social media that it was actually a torn, what, you are?
A guy that covers the Mets and does, like, a lot of minor league baseball stuff says, oh, yeah, McCullers is pitching with a torn UCL. He's going to have Tommy John. Well, if he has Tommy John, now you're looking at three spots in your rotation that are gone because Morton's a free agent, Keuchel's a free agent, we don't believe he's coming back, and Lance McCullers potentially is hurt. And McCullers didn't say he had the injury, but he said, I'm pitching through a lot, which leads me to believe there's something significant there, so you can't bet on him to start the season at least.
And regardless, Richard Justice was on the bench this morning, and he said his back was still an issue too. So he's got a couple issues to get through.
So you go from maybe best starting rotation in the history of the franchise to two of those guys back, three question marks, and I know everybody wants to drool and slobber over the potential that is Forrest Whitley. He's never pitched at the major league level. Okay, Josh James, can he be a full-time starter?
Yes, he can.
Okay, all right, so then maybe that's one spot.
I got two for you, and the other one is a poor man's Dallas Keuchel, just poor on salary alone. You just put Colin McHugh back in the starting rotation.
I'm fine with that. I'm
Colin
totally
McHugh
fine with
can
that.
Do what Dallas Keuchel did and maybe do it better.
And you know what about Colin McHugh moving back? Is there's a ton of dudes who are bullpen arms that you could go and, okay, you're the new McHugh. I'll go spend on you. I'll go give you a, you know, go get the next Rondon maybe a little bit better, you know, former closer who'd come into your place and is just, you know, ace reliever. There's plenty of those guys.
The back end of the bullpen, which was a concern last year, isn't going to be a concern this year because you got Presley and you got Osuna. So now you have one more year where Rondon is under control and hopefully, you know, a little bit time with Brett Strom. Maybe he straightens some things out.
Yeah.
And you got two guys already in your pen that were a year away from being an MVP of your team from pitching standpoint in Brad Peacock. And an all-star, two all-stars in Will Harris and in Devinsky. If one or two of those guys figure it out and you say, hey, you can say one way or the other, had one good year, can he do it again? Or he had one bad year, is he going to have another? Regardless, if you can get two of those three guys straightened out, pitching-wise, I think you're fine. I think you have to worry about where your other holes are and what you're going to do. And, again, it comes down to money and dollars and what makes sense. And who you bring back?
Like if let's say Marwin Gonzalez is gone, okay. Do you have an everyday left fielder on this team? Okay, if you say it's Tony Kemp, then what are you doing with Tucker? Tucker can't stay at AAA forever. Are you finally going to deal Tucker? If you deal Tucker, what position are you dealing him for? You mentioned catcher. They got to do something at catcher.
Yep.
Max Stassi's not that guy every day, and that's just not a. Maldonado showed that we overrated the familiarity with the staff. As a key asset to a catcher being here. So I'm less worried about new catcher coming in and getting caught up because Maldonado came in and he was fine behind the plate with the relationship with these
guys.
It
also behooves you to ask the question of how much do you value what Josh Reddick brings to the table because of the fact that he hit 71 points below his average the year before this year. But at least in the playoffs, there was a resurrection to the standpoint that he started to get some hits. But is the value up again, too, where you can say, hey, look, there are some teams that may want this guy, but I can unload more salary so I can get more things in return so that I can, you know, kind of extend the longevity of this team being on the forefront of a championship.
Clear the path for a young guy that I like that's coming up, like a Tucker or a Kemp or something like that.
Yep. So interesting decisions for the Astros. What say you? If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We'll be back with more. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Prime Social Club, this is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an FEF Friday, and we are absolutely, positively happy you are with us and along for the ride. Cody Stutes is in for Barry. It's him and I here at Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. If you want to stop by and say hi, maybe play some poker, hang out, it's a great spot. Lots of good things going on. It's a clean, safe environment to play poker, but the food and beverages are great. Clean bar area. You can play pool. There's all kinds of things going on, so check it out. We'll take you till 4 here. Blitz will be here all the way till 7 o'clock. AJ's playing right now in a tournament. So is Lance Zerline. So there's our peeps are out there participating as well. So you can swing on by. Nick is back at the station as we continue to regurgitate the events of last evening. We kind of got into the Astros a little bit, Cody, but overall, there is now, like there is every year with every team that gets to a certain point and falls short, there is tons of evaluating to be done and decisions to be made on both sides of the ledger when you look at what this team's going to look like next season. My first thing, because everybody's asking me, well, where's the weakness? The bullpen was, you know, numbers-wise, best in the baseball. You know, they're starting pitching. Well, you're going to lose some of those guys. So you have three key free agents, Marwin Gonzalez, Dallas Keuchel, Charlie Morton. You also have a guy that I think we're all kind of on the same page that's probably going to call it a career in Brian McCann, who's up, but I don't think he's going to be back because based on the last 2 months of the season, he looked like he was closer to AARP than the all-star status as a catcher that he once was. My biggest thing is the catcher. Maldonado, who was the machete-throwing runner, and he has a cannon. But he's supposed to be a defensive catcher, and there were a lot of lapses. He's a free agent. Do you want to bring him back? Or Real Muto is the guy that I think that they have targeted in the past that they should target again. Miami's obviously having another fire sale. They constantly want to get good players out of there, as we've seen, with Ozuna, who went to the Cardinals, with Yelich, who went to the Brewers, and a couple of their pitchers have been on the block and also have been traded. I think if there is a way that you can spin a deal for a guy like Real Muto he could really put you over the top for next season simply because of his bat, and he's young, and he's a good defensive catcher. What's crossing your mind on what they need to do?
Man, I think that it's going to get real interesting, and how they operate this offseason may give us a peek into how they're going to start operating with some of these big names that are going to start getting paid. Because if they go out there and it's just spin, and it's a lot of money, and they go add, you know, some more, you know, hosses to this team, then it's like, okay, well, what about Verlander and Cole? What about Springer? What about Correa? You know, in that order, those guys. And you got to think, too, Jose Altuve, that sweetheart deal that they got him on, that stays in place for another year, and then his salary jumps up big.
Right.
So that's a big commitment. And so, you know, everyone's like, okay, well, Crane will spend. Sure, but will Crane spend?
I was going to say, it starts with Crane, but you got to look, to your comment about what's on the horizon, you know, you got one more year of Cole and Verlander, and then they're both up. So you got to figure out, you know, is Justin going to give any kind of a sweetheart deal? Is he want to get to a big city? You know, is Kate Upton's love for this city going to make sure that he stays and maybe takes a little less so that he can make sure that he stays on the big stage with a team that's going to consistently win?
Yeah.
But, you know, you've got another year of Springer under control, I believe, and then Springer – it's 2 years on Springer?
I think it's 2 years on Springer,
so
yeah.
So two left on Springer. You're going to approach the Correa. Bregman's – obviously it's coming. And again, you look at all those things and say, well, why does that matter? Those are down the road. Because it matters on how you spend money this year. So basically to me, and I've said this all along, I'm fine Dallas Keuchel walks.
See ya.
You know, goodbye. And because Boris is his agent and because he's looking for big dollars and he's kind of got that kind of River Oaks attitude in the way he operates, he kind of was giving the spilled milk and woe is me's last night after the game. But the fact of the matter is, it's cake or eat it too. You know, if you want less money, maybe they'll talk to you. I think the more important things are, Marwin has a huge role on this team.
Yes.
It just depends. He's represented, you said, by Boris as well.
Scott Boris guy.
That's another thing, because Boris is all about getting the most and every penny out of whoever he can get it from, whereas Marwin's a guy that really fits into the culture, the locker room, does a jack of – he's the ultimate Swiss Army knife.
So talking about Marwin, I think you have to ask yourself, does this guy, while he does do all those things, and he does all those things well, is this a guy that wants to sit down 30 years old – and look at a team and say, play me here every day. Like, I can do this, but I want to be your everyday blank. You know, and that's something you have to figure out.
Then I would have to ask first and foremost, exactly, you tell me what position you want to play, because I'm looking at it going, he can play the out. He can play every position but catcher and pitcher, but what is there an everyday position for him?
Right, right. You know, like, is some team going to pay him $14, $15 million a year to play second base?
Right.
Like, you know, I don't know. I don't
Third,
know.
Short.
So the thing you have to look at right away is you got Verlander and Cole. They're good to go for next year.
Right.
Keuchel's gone.
Yep.
Morton's a free agent.
Yep.
And then, I mean, Lance McCullers' his arm, the whispers that are out there on this
thing. Did you see last night on social media that it was actually a torn, what, you are?
A guy that covers the Mets and does, like, a lot of minor league baseball stuff says, oh, yeah, McCullers is pitching with a torn UCL. He's going to have Tommy John. Well, if he has Tommy John, now you're looking at three spots in your rotation that are gone because Morton's a free agent, Keuchel's a free agent, we don't believe he's coming back, and Lance McCullers potentially is hurt. And McCullers didn't say he had the injury, but he said, I'm pitching through a lot, which leads me to believe there's something significant there, so you can't bet on him to start the season at least.
And regardless, Richard Justice was on the bench this morning, and he said his back was still an issue too. So he's got a couple issues to get through.
So you go from maybe best starting rotation in the history of the franchise to two of those guys back, three question marks, and I know everybody wants to drool and slobber over the potential that is Forrest Whitley. He's never pitched at the major league level. Okay, Josh James, can he be a full-time starter?
Yes, he can.
Okay, all right, so then maybe that's one spot.
I got two for you, and the other one is a poor man's Dallas Keuchel, just poor on salary alone. You just put Colin McHugh back in the starting rotation.
I'm fine with that. I'm
Colin
totally
McHugh
fine with
can
that.
Do what Dallas Keuchel did, and maybe do it better.
And you know what about Colin McHugh moving back is there's a ton of dudes who are bullpen arms that you could go and okay, you're the new McHugh. I'll go spend on you. I'll go give you go get the next Rendon, maybe a little bit better. You know, former closer who'd come into your place and is just ace reliever. There's plenty of those guys.
The back end of the bullpen, which was a concern last year, isn't going to be a concern this year because you got Presley and you got Osuna. So now you have one more year where Rondon is under control and hopefully, you know, a little bit time with Brett Strom. Maybe he straightens some things out.
Yeah.
And you got two guys already in your pen that were a year away from being an MVP of your team from pitching standpoint in Brad Peacock and an all-star, two all-stars in Will Harris and in Devinsky. If one or two of those guys figure it out and you say, hey, you can say one way or the other, had one good year, can he do it again? Or he had one bad year, is he going to have another? Regardless, if you can get two of those three guys straightened out, you have, pitching-wise, I think you're fine. I think you have to worry about where your other holes are and what you're going to do. And, again, it comes down to money and dollars and what makes sense and who you bring back.
Let's say Marwin Gonzalez is gone. Okay, do you have an everyday left fielder on this team? Okay, if you say it's Tony Kemp, then what are you doing with Tucker? Tucker can't stay at AAA forever. Are you finally going to deal Tucker? If you deal Tucker, what position are you dealing him for? You mentioned catcher. They got to do something at catcher.
Yep.
Max Stassi's not that guy every day. And that's just not a Maldonado showed that we overrated the familiarity with the staff as a key asset to a catcher being here. So I'm less worried about new catcher coming in and getting caught up, because Maldonado came in and he was fine behind the plate with the relationship with these
guys. It also behooves you to ask the question of how much do you value what Josh Reddick brings to the table, because of the fact that he hit 71 points below his average the year before this year. But at least in the playoffs, there was a resurrection to the standpoint that he started to get some hits. But is the value up again, too, where you can say, hey, look, there's some teams that may want this guy, but I can unload more salary so I can get more things in return so that I can, you know, kind of extend the longevity of this team being on the forefront of a championship.
Clear the path for a young guy that I like that's coming up, like a Tucker or a Kemp or something like that.
Yep. So interesting decisions for the Astros. What say you? If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We'll be back with more. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Prime Social Club, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to One FYI Friday on The Usual Suspects. Barry's in Portland, Oregon doing a little comedy, so... no funny business here, because we've got Cody Suits stepping in for Barry for the second straight day. So mark your calendars. Social mediaites, hashtag TUS2. That's Usual Suspects 2, show 2 with Cody Suits. I want that to trend. I want that to blow up. I want that to be exactly what you guys do on social media, because it's huge. I do appreciate you, Code. So glad to have you again for a second day.
Hey, happy to be here.
And we were talking about some Astros leading into the show. And then, of course, obviously it's top of mind with a lot of people. Nick, is Anton still on the line?
He is.
Let's get to Anton and see what he's got to say about Stros. Anton, what's up?
This is my first time calling, but I'm a long-time listener. I'm actually calling because I'm calling about – I work for a big company with over 700 employees, and a lot of them are Astros fans. And I don't follow baseball at all. But I want to say something to them, that y'all put the Astros on a pedestal and made it seem like they were a juggernaut team, and they Dodgers took them for 7 games and they had to come back and win it. So I'm kind of glad the Astros didn't win it this year, because I'm tired of hearing all these bandwagon people that's jumping on the bandwagon just because they won last year. So I want to give a shout out to the true Astros fans and not those bandwagons. And
okay.
That's it.
All right. All right, Anton, we appreciate that. Look, but here's the thing, and a lot of people experience this in the heat of a series. They hate the other team's fan base. They hate that they're trying to stir it up, get under your skin, say things that are hurtful. So sometimes I hear the bandwagon complaint, and I get it. And other times I'm like, but what would you rather have, the alternative, where they're either rooting against you or they're diehard for the other team? Like they're
2012, 2011, 2013... like all those years, I don't want that crap ever again. I fill that place up. I don't care if they don't know what a ground rule double is or anything like that. Show up, wear your gear, you know, buy a lot of it, spend a bunch of money at the concession stand.
It's like I see said about the Rockets all the time. Show up early, stay late, cheer loud, you know, and support the team. And if you do all that, I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't care about who. And by the way, like, they were, like, let's not get this twisted. This Astros team was a juggernaut this year.
Yeah.
Like, 103 wins, like, they were.
Nothing to joke about it. We just got done saying if they were healthy.
Yeah.
If, I know ifs, buts, candies, nuts. If they're healthy to go with that starting pitching this year, I don't think there's any doubt they challenged the Mariners for the best regular season record of all time.
How are you going to remember this season? Like, obviously, like, that's kind of a weird question to ask the day after they're out. Yeah. And most people are going to say, oh, well, I remember when they lost to the Red Sox. You know, you big dummy. That's what I remember. But, like, is there something that's going to jump off for you for this season you're always going to remember?
I think it's the season that could have been, just for all those things that lined up. Could have been. Yeah, the season that could have been. Great season. And, again, all these people are saying, well, if they don't win it all or at least get there, it's a disappointment. No, it's not. You lost to the team with the best record in baseball. And that was the hottest team at the right time. So the bottom line is it wasn't a disappointment. It was a really good regular season, and it was a good try. But at the same time, I would never say it's a disappointment, but I'd say it's a season that could have been.
Almost everything that I'll mention is going to point to a could have been season. Bregman's emergence as an AL MVP candidate. How good Verlander and Cole were for this team. How good the entire pitching staff was for this team. Tyler White, Marwin Gonzalez taking care of business late in the season. Like, all of it points to like the could have been.
Yep.
The best part, though, we talked about earlier, this does not feel like this is the last time the Astros are
exactly
doing this.
Exactly.
Like, there's so many dudes that are going to, like, there's so many dudes that are coming back, and it'll probably get better. Like, my God, what if Alex Bregman gets better? Like, he's only ever gotten better in the off seasons. What if he gets better? What if Correa gets back to what he was?
It's not an unrealistic what if. I think it definitely could happen because the guy is dedicated so much to his craft.
Yeah.
And he's got a hitting coach that lives with him. And, you know, he lives and dies baseball. I don't know what that says about his social life, but I don't care. I want a guy that's that dialed in, that's playing for the home team.
You don't think Bregman finds some time?
I'm sure he's good in the box, whether it's, you know, at Minute Maid or otherwise. So, I mean, I'm not gonna fault the man for being, you know, single and ready to mingle as well as concentrate on his craft. I mean, that's what
all
I'll
of
say
his
about
crafts.
That. Yeah, whatever the craft might be. You know, because even witchcraft, they ride a broom. All right, so with that being said, we got a couple calls still waiting. Troy is out there, and he wants to talk Astros. Troy, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
What's up, my man?
Hey, just hats off to the Astros. They hit a buzzsaw that was the Red Sox. And as far as remembering something, remember last year, everybody needs to remember last year with the total city in dismay, the hope and promise and everything they gave to the whole town of Houston.
Well, it's good. It's a good take, Troy. Good to hear from you. And the other thing is just remember, part of being H-Town strong is when – everything was the worst outside of the sport. They came through for you. They didn't. This year, it's your job to pick them up, come through for them, and you move on. That's a big thing. And if you guys want to do that, Cody brings up a good point. If you want to tell us what, instead of calling it a disappointment, and maybe some of you will, but tell us what's the one thing that stands out in your mind that you will remember and take away from this season. Because there's plenty of different takes to be had based on the roller coaster that was the entire season.
Like the leaf blower. I'll never forget that. When they unveiled the banner.
Yes, yes. There's several good, several bad, and several kind of out-of-the-ordinary things that always happen in a Major League season. No exceptions here with the Astros season. Brandon also wants to get in here on the Astros. Brandon, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's nice to hear a show that's not so salty with Barry being stuck out in the Midwest. So nice to hear you, Cody. Listen, I remember the 116 lost seasons, and I remember I think it was three in a row where we lost over 100 games and building up to this. So I disagree with Anton. I don't think it's so much bandwagon fans as much as it's the guys that struggled through all that, and then we finally get the Alex Bregmans and the Carlos Correas and Verlander coming over here. I mean, there was a lot of things that fell into place that make this team on paper very scary. And when the injuries happened, and last year you had, oh, I can't believe Marwin hit that ball down the line and it spun that way and it was fair. This year it spun the opposite way and it was foul. And it worked for Boston this year. If you watched a lot of their regular season games, JD hits a home run that scrapes over the wall. Our Mookie Betts makes one of those amazing catches. I think it's just one of those things where Boston's getting a lot of those lucky breaks that the Astros got last year that changed the outcome of games. I mean, they didn't win 108 games on accident this year. I think we just ran into a very, very talented baseball team.
But here's the thing, too. The other thing that I hope for Astros fan is don't become that fan base. Don't become the arrogant fan base that starts to be, and Nick, you may have to drop me on this, but, I mean, the massholes that are the Massachusetts fans of the Patriots and the Red Sox. Don't become, you know, the Bronx cheers that of the Yankees that get all so high and mighty and arrogant. They want to throw the 27 World Championships in your face, and they want to basically just, you know, drag things across your cheeks every day to say, you're not us. Don't do that. You know, try to stay humble and stay hungry and do those things that make you so lovable. Because here's the thing. There were a couple things this year that took a team that was America's favorite team if they didn't have a dog in the race because of the H-Town Strong, because of the underdog role, and then they went out and got Osuna. And then they got caught stealing signs or at least accused of stealing signs. And you say, these are two blemishes that you don't want, because if you got someone that's from New Mexico, you want them to be an Astros fan. Sure. You don't want to root against them because you don't like the way they go about their business. That's why I don't want Bregman to go so far over the top. Motivate and lead without billboard material.
I want Bregman to be the guy that every opposing fan base dislikes but wishes was on their team.
Yeah.
I don't want him to go to, like, the total villain. Like, oh, I kind of wish that guy was my guy.
You want Alex Bregman to be Matt Harper.
Yeah.
The former Utah Jazz guy. Everybody hates him, but if he was on your team, you'd love him.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. It's the usual suspects on an F Yeah Friday, and that means we still got some football to get to. We got some other things on the agenda as well, and if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.